Hallelujah. Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to those online. Praise the Lord. We are here to worship God. We are here to meet Him this morning. Father, we are grateful for Your presence here. We come to You in the name of Jesus, and we worship You, Father God. We are so grateful, Lord, this morning for what You have done in our lives and what You continue to do. Hallelujah. Stand and start praise and worship together. Hallelujah. We're going to thank Him this morning. I cannot tell it all.
just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Jesus, your name is power, your name is healing.
faithful. It surrounds me like a shield, and it will cover me from now until the day I see my King. Faithful. It surrounds me like a shield. Father, we are thankful for favor. We're thankful for mercy. We're thankful for grace. We're thankful for your power. Most of all, we're thankful for your presence. Every other thing is good, but without your presence, nothing is in a place of perfection. We thank you, Lord, that it's your presence that brings about every other thing that we need. And this morning we are thankful that you're the God who's made a promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We know this, that you're a God who cannot lie. Once you've made a promise, you keep it. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for deliverance. We're thankful for all that you have given to us. We rejoice in your goodness, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness revealed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's sing it one more time. Favor, favor.
Favor, 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. You may be seated. How many were here last night for the concert? A handful of you. Well, it was a tremendous, tremendous concert. It's powerful, powerful. All the giftings that God has given to the body of Christ. And I wonder how wonderful the music in heaven is going to be. If it was so good here, wow. I wonder how that is going to be. Thank you so very much, worship team. But you know what? It was not about the singing and the dancing. What is important is our obedience, because that's truly what worship is about. We can sing all we want, we can shout, but if we are not obedient to God, we achieve nothing. And today I call every one of us to that place of obedience, to just obey the word of God. Follow through. We have so many people today that are rebellious. They don't follow the instruction of God. That will not be us in Jesus' name. We need to follow. That's why the word of God calls us soldiers. Soldiers listen and obey the command. They keep their ears attentive to the command of God. Every one of us here today are in one level or the other, in one aspect, in a particular discipline in the army of God. There are some people here that are in the Air Force, some that are in the Navy, some are infantry, some are snipers, some are whatever. And the instruction that is given to Navy might not be the instruction given to the Air Force. Because God is orchestrating his army. And we cannot keep our ears focused on what other people, or our eyes focused on what other people are doing. We need to keep our ears open to hear what God is saying directly to me, for the well-being of the body. Hallelujah. And if I am busy watching another person doing something different from what I am doing, and I decide to go do theirs because I don't like mine, I leave my space, my stand, and the body becomes vulnerable. Not everybody is going to sing here or play an instrument. You might be an excellent musician. Excellent. You can play better than anybody here, and you may be able to sing better than anybody here. But if that's not God's calling for you, don't go there. Do what God said for you to do. With your nice singing voice, it might be that God wants you to just sing to him in a secret place, and with your singing, do warfare as an intercessor. We're all different, but we all complement each other. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say we're different, but we complement each other. It is in our complementing of each other that unity is established. Amen? Amen. We're not the same. Can you imagine this hand, this palm, is facing the same direction as this one? That will be what? A freak of nature. No, because this person's hand faces this way does not mean yours have to face the same way. It might just have to be this way, the way God put it, so that you can clap good. I can't be clapping like this. It hurts. This way it's better. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know why the Lord is leading me to tell you all of this morning, but I want you to know God wants us to complement each other. Be what God says you are. Find your spiritual destiny and calling in God, knowing that you've been chosen, knowing that you have a destiny and you have a purpose. There's a reason for you. Hallelujah. And so I call everyone that is meant to be part of this body to be faithful in their service, to know God, not only in a corporate means, but in a very personal way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, this evening, we're here already this morning, so we're going to hear our guest speaker this morning in just a moment. But this evening, we have another guest speaker. He was going to speak to us from Vancouver because he was in a meeting in Vancouver. And I got a call yesterday. He said, "Man of God, Papa, I am in Winnipeg." I said, "You're in Winnipeg? What are you doing in Winnipeg?" He said, "A church just invited me to come speak to them. And so I'm speaking there last night, and I'm going to speak there this morning. And I know you're going to do it virtually, but I'm already here." I said, well, look at God. You know, the interesting thing about it is I got the call after I had a dream. I was just snapping for a few minutes, and I saw my friend, Paul Nature, saying to me, he says, "I'm coming to Winnipeg." I said, you what? He said, "I'm coming to Winnipeg." I said, "Oh, okay, great. Let's do it." And then my phone rang, and this guy is from the same city. Well, what am I saying? Listen, and actually, both speakers today come from the same city in Nigeria. You're getting swarmed with the goodness of God today. Amen. Don't miss it tonight. I know some of you are Sunday morning people. Sunday evening, be here because you're going to be touched by God. Amen. Don't come alone. Come with somebody to experience God in a mighty way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, next Saturday is going to be our block party, and we want everybody to join in to serve. You have the information there. Be here to experience God and be a conduit through which God is going to flow to touch lives in our community. Amen? There are flyers that still need to be handed out, and we'll appreciate it if you come out on Wednesday, this Wednesday coming, and join a group of people together so that we can spread the remaining flyers. Some can go on windshields, some can go into mailboxes, whatever. Just come and help spread the word in this area. Amen? Now, children, come on quickly. I thought I dismissed you guys. Oh, you're waiting for, oh, okay, for the song. Okay, all right. God is good. He's in a different zone today. Well, praise the Lord. Stretch your hands towards me, everyone. Hallelujah. Father, I speak your word of blessing over every one of these ones. Whatever needs need to be addressed, I thank you, Lord, they are addressed already. We speak, O God, into their present and into their future. And we declare, Father, O God, that there is nothing that will stand in their way to block them. That your word, O God, will be deeply rooted in them, O God, and that, Lord, by the authority of your most majestic power, that these ones anointed will be anointed to destroy strongholds and to see captives set free. I thank you, Lord, for good success. I thank you, Lord, for breakthroughs in their education, in their professions. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare, O God, that this day you will honor them by increasing their greatness. I declare your greatness is greatly increased this day. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I speak peace over you. I declare in the name of Jesus that the authority of God flows in you and through you, and that you flourish and you blossom. That in the name of Jesus, just like Joseph grew and crossed over to the other side over the wall, that you will reign in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak healing and strength into your life, and I declare that you are raised up by the Spirit of God. You are granted supernatural speed in the name of Jesus. You will not be slow, you will be quick in the mighty name of Jesus. Wiser than your teachers in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare this day that the authority of the living God will elevate and promote. Be healed, be restored, be made whole in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Who knows what July 24th is? Mama's birthday. Don't forget, pray for Mama. She needs your prayer today. And be at peace. God is good. Hallelujah. Well, before I introduce our guest speaker this morning, a son in this house is going to lead us quickly in a song that honors the living God and sets the mood for the move of God this morning. Please come.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah, church.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Quickly, can we have John 7, verse 37 on the screen, please. Amen.
Yeah.
We have come to draw from God this morning. John chapter 7, verse 37. Hallelujah. Amen. And it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Verse 38. The next verse. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Hallelujah. Can we also see Psalm 46, verse 4? Before we go into what God has for us this morning, Psalm 46, verse 4. It says, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High." And that is where we have come to draw from this morning. Hallelujah. This morning, if you know the song, I just want you to worship. Hallelujah. "Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water." Yeah, yeah, yeah. "And out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water." Yeah, yeah, yeah. "Shall flow rivers, rivers of living water." Yeah, yeah, yeah. La 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 la. Living water.
out of my belly shall flow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Rivers of living waters. E-I-E-I-A.
One more time, church, sing along, say out of
my belly.
Everybody
shall flow.
Praise the Lord. Thou art powerful. We thank God for his servant, dear son in this house, for our Roland Ovier. Thou art powerful. Amen. Well, it is my honor and privilege to introduce a great man of God to us. You can put him on at this point. Pastor Apostle Uja, God's Power Uja, is a pastor of Champion Faith Assembly in Abuja, Nigeria. His church started in the city that I got saved in and got called into ministry in. And I got to meet this mighty man of God during a conference, I think it was in March, where I was speaking in Nigeria. And he is a great gift from God to us. Apostle, how are you doing today?
I'm excellent. How are you doing too? Praise God.
It's I'm good. Blessed. It's how are you feeling? Amen. Wow, look at this. If I put on my jacket, we'll look like we planned this out. You know, red and black, or yours is red and blue, or something like that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
You know, the Lord said to me this morning, will you believe this? God is interested in clothing. The Lord said, I want you to wear this because that's what he's going to be wearing.
Glory to God.
Can you imagine? So I was waiting to see what he was going to be wearing. That's amazing. God has something in store for you today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not going to do little chats right now. We'll talk later. But I want to release you to bring the ministry of the Word of God to God's people here and those that are listening virtually today. Thank you so very much, man of God, for accepting our call.
God bless you. God bless you, man of God. I'm excited to be in church, Bishop. I'm just blessed that God, by himself in his own goodness, has put this meeting together.
Yes.
You know, thanks for technology. There's no distance in the spirit. The anointing, I already sense it here, mightily. Amen. I want to thank God for your life. Church, I want to help you, help me celebrate the bishop, celebrate the mama in the house. I'm glad it's going to be our birthday. I wish I was there to just dance a bit. Mama will celebrate you. Bishop will celebrate you. Thank you for all the great things you are doing for the body of Christ. God bless you mightily.
Amen.
Thank God for the grace of God upon your life. Thank God for you responding to the call. Imagine the souls, the lives that would not have come to know Jesus if you had not responded to the call. So we are excited and we are glad that you responded to the call. God bless you, man of God. And Mama, again, once, God bless you and happy birthday in advance. And the music ministry, God bless you. The guy that just finished singing, oh my God, you blessed my soul. I am excited over that word, that song you brought, and of my belly shall flow. I could already feel the overflow of that which Almighty God wants to do. I greet the College of Ministers in this great ministry. God bless all of you. I bring you greetings from Nigeria, where I am primarily, but right now I am in Brampton, and I believe God has a word for someone today. God will use this word to do something in your life, and your life will not remain the same. Yeah. All right, without spending further time, I'd like you to grab a hold of your Bible. I'm sure you came to church with a Bible. Though it will be displayed on the screen, but it's also good to have your Bible. I don't joke with mine. My Bible is with me all the time. Yes, I will read from the screen, but I've got the Word of God with me all the time. It's a joy. It's a joy. What better companion can anybody have than to have God's Word with them, especially in a generation like this, where you can see all kinds of pollution going on, all kinds of things happening here and there. There is no weapon that is as powerful as the Word of God. So I got my Bible here with me. So if yours is there with you, or people in the media can help us, can you throw on the screen for me 2 Kings chapter 7. I'm going to swallow in verse 1 and 2. 2 Kings chapter 7. And I'm going to read to you from verse number 1 and verse number 2. All right, if you have found it, I would like you to say an amen like you came to church. Shout an amen like you are in church. Amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to read 2 Kings chapter 7. Verse 1 and 2. And this is the way and the word, of God says. Then Elisha said, "Yea, the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Verse 2. "Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned." I'm reading the King James Version, by the way. "Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof." What a word. I'd like you to bow your head in the next 60 seconds or so and come before God and tell God to speak to you like you're the only one in church. You know, sometimes if you're not careful, you will hide under the prayer of somebody else, under the praise of somebody else. But I'd like you to come before God as an individual and ask him, God, speak to me like I'm the only one here. That thing you've been longing to tell me, speak to me, oh God, by your word. Tell him to talk to you this hour, because God is real and his word is truth. Thank you, Holy Ghost. May we pray. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is life and your word is power. Use this word to do what only you can do, and take all of the glory. Spirit of God, I'm asking that you will breathe upon your people. Let it be that every word that escaped my mouth is the one you have put there. May I not speak from the intelligence of men, but may I speak from your spirit to the glory of your name. Satan, your yoke is broken. The word of God will have a free flow, and God's people will be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And everybody says a big amen. Everybody shout an amen like you came to church. Glory to God. I want to talk to you briefly within the parameters of the time that I have on what I have called plugged into overflow. Plugged into overflow, like you plug a socket to the wall. Plugged into overflow. I had an experience many years ago. I was sitting in my office, and I realized that the battery of my phones were going off. The batteries were draining, and it was draining fast. So I decided to plugged the phone in my office as I went into the church for service with the intention that when I am done with church service, the battery should be full, or the phone should be full rather. So I plugged the phone in the office and I went into the church to have a wonderful service. And we did the service together. It was such a beautiful 2-hour service. So I am so sure, I was so sure that by the time I was done, my phone was ready for me to use to do whatever I want to do. And then I was done from church. I came back to the office and I looked at my phone. It was as dead as when I left it before I went into the office. And I began to wonder, why would my phone not charge? And my eyes went straight to the socket where I plugged the phone. And I realized that I did plug the phone, but I didn't put on the switch. So I did plug the phone quite well, but I didn't put on the switch. So the switch that was off delayed, or it hampered or hindered the flow of current from the socket into the phone. You know, there are many times in life that we wonder why we come to church, we sing and dance, we pray with other people, we do everything we know to do as a child of God, but we wonder why with all the things we do for God and with God, our life seems to be the same. There don't seem to be any notable change. It's not because God is no longer God. It's not because God went on a holiday. It is because somewhere along the line, maybe you didn't just put on the switch. So this hour, I want to try to explain to you and I by God's word that it's not enough to just desire overflow. It's not enough to just trust God and pray and believe God for it. There are things you need to do to be able to put on the switch that will cause your overflow to manifest. I would like an amen there. Glory to God. And the Bible tells us a story. It's a familiar story. I know your man of God, Bishop, is an eloquent preacher, great man of God, sorted all over the world. So I know the story I'm reading to you is not novel. It's something I am sure you have heard. You have read about yourself and you have heard it preached in church, either in church, God church, or some other places you have heard this scripture. But I want to try to connect it to the subject of the hour. Before I begin to go on, let's understand something, child of God. I want you to know something. There's an anointing in this service. There is power in this place. Have you realized? I feel a prophetic anointing. I feel a grace falling upon me right now for someone in church. Have you realized? Have you ever been to a function? Let me put the word a function. When you go to some functions, you will see some seats in the function. They have put on them reserved. They have written reserved on those seats. Maybe there are some even in church when we have special program, there are seats we put reserved. Now there is something about those seats. They are not for first come, first seat. No, that's not why the seat is there. The seat is not for you came first, so sit down. No, it is for certain persons. If you get to that point, or if you get to that function, and you sit on those chairs, and nobody may say anything to you. Somebody may just leave you to sit there because of some other reasons. But if the owner of that chair shows up, if the person that ought to sit there come, and usher will whisper to your ears and said to you, excuse me, can you stand up? Because the person that ought to sit here has just arrived. I've got a prophecy in my mouth that whoever has been sitting on your space, whoever has been sitting on where you should sit, whether it's in your office or in your family or among your clique, whoever has been taking your place, they will stand up for you to sit down. You have entered into a season where you will be in where God wants you to be. You will enter where God wants you to enter. I'm addressing the powers, the forces that stood against you all these years, the powers that have opposed your laughter, the powers delaying your breakthrough, the powers standing against your joy. Yes, indeed, I speak to them. They will let you sit in where you ought to see. I see you sitting down spiritually. I see you sitting down financially. I see you sitting down maritally. The powers that I vow that you can never rise Christ, oh, to the place of influence and influence. Their forces are broken, but the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that's a good place to shout amen. And you can shout an hallelujah if you like. I feel good here today. Glory to God. The Bible tells us the story in where we read. It speaks about Elijah. Before this chapter 7 came about, the backdrop of this story is that there was famine in the land of Israel. Not a famine by nature. Oh God, I feel like I'm going to preach here. Not a famine by nature. There are times that there are natural challenges. There are things that you cannot help. There are natural problems. They come from sources you cannot even explain. But this things are natural, but in this case, it was not a natural famine. The enemy had besieged the land and closed them in for one reason, so that the help cannot come from outside and nobody can go outside. Nobody can come inside. Nobody can go outside. They were closed in. Baby, you are sitting there looking at me today. The enemy has closed you in. Nobody knows about it. You still wear some good clothes. You come to church looking so nice, looking so good, but right inside your spirit, you are bleeding on your inside. Nobody knows the pain you are going. I didn't come to preach to everybody. I spent some time to pray, and God spoke to me. Someone is inside that service who have been crying for a long time. I'm talking about the type of tears that nobody sees. You weep in the night. You weep in the bathroom. You can park your car and begin to weep. You are tired of being tired. I don't know who I came to preach to, but God is saying to me that somebody has been besieged. The enemy has built walls around you. Every type of help that's supposed to come your way, Satan has blocked your helper, and he has blocked your helpers, and he has blocked your glory, your progress. But can I preach it like I feel it? I came to tell someone, whatever power held you captive, whatever power held you from progressing, as they are hearing the sound of my voice, they are breaking out of your life. They are breaking out of your circumstance. They are breaking out of what concerns you. Can I get somebody to stand up and just give God a shout for another 2 seconds, because to believe that God is breaking yokes, hallelujah, I'm a sight that God is good. His mercy endures forever. So here comes the enemy. They built, they had compassed these people and caged them in. Do you know the frustration of being caged in? The frustration of beautiful but cannot marry. What a frustration. The frustration of married but babies are just not coming. The frustration of doing other job and another person gets the credit. And the frustration, I don't know who I came to preach to, but God said to me, someone has been caged in. You have been caged in, and every time you ask yourself, there are 2 basic questions that are in your spirit. Two basic questions in your spirit. The first question is, Lord, why me? Why me, oh God? If somebody was to tell you some 10 years ago, some 15 years ago, some 5 years ago, if somebody was to tell you that by this time you would be like this, you would never have believed it, because you got your plans. Things were working better than they are right now. But along the line, you can't explain what happened. Things just began to cave in. And here you are wondering, asking questions. The question is, Lord, why me? Why me in this predicament? Why me in this pain? Sometimes you look at your friends. They do worse things than you, yet they seem to be making progress. You see people who are not as serious in serving God like you, but they seem to be making progress. And you're asking God, Lord, why me? Why me? What have I done that you cannot forgive? Sometimes you have to confess sins severally. If God didn't hear the first time you confessed it, you want to confess confess it again and again. If God can just let you marry, you want to confess it again and again. If God can help you clear your bills, God, every time you wonder, God, am I going to continue to deal with life like this every month? I'm thinking of how to get money to clear bills. Am I going to continue this way? Lord, why me? And why me become so long? The next question comes up. The next question is, Lord, how long? After why me is that long? How long? Oh, God, I hear God for saying to me, that brother that sing, the Lord says to tell you, he's about to blow your trumpet and you're going to be needed in the nations of the world. I heard that clearly. Glory to God. Listen to me, people of God. The Bible said that these people were besieged. The famine they were going through, the pain they were going through, it was not their own error. It was an attack. Oh, God, I feel something. You are listening to me right now under the sound of my voice. And you are going through attacks that are inexplicable. And it is creating a tightness. You are feeling like you are compressed. You are emotionally drained. You are emotionally drained and you don't know what to do with yourself. And sometimes you are not just emotionally drained. You are financially drained. And then also you could be spiritually drained. And you are wondering, God, how long will I continue like this? And that was the case of the people of God. They were encased in, they were enclosed in. And one day, I feel something. And there's somebody listening to me right now. You've been going through all types of things. You've been coming to church for a bit. And you've been asking God, Lord, where is my testimony in your presence? Those who came to church a few years ago, you were here before them. You are watching their life change. You are watching them giving testimonies. And you are saying, God, what is the matter? Why are things like this with me? Oh, God, I feel a grace. I feel an anointing. As I'm speaking right here, right now, I'm not just speaking to your face. I am speaking into your spirit. I'm speaking into the very power that is holding you captive. I speak right into your village, into where this thing originates from. Today is the day they will let you go. That's a good place to shout amen. I said, today is the day they will let you go. Hallelujah. I gotta go on because of time. And yet the Bible says, in this condition, I don't know the condition you're in at the moment. I don't know what you're going through, but somebody's there. You're listening to me right now. You laugh because others are laughing. You smile because others are smiling. Right inside your spirit, you are weeping. There are things you cannot understand. You are tired. Sometimes, I don't know who I came to preach, but God said to me, someone in that church, sometimes when you go to bed around 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. and you wake up around 2 a.m. to ease yourself, that's the end of your sleep. You are not able to sleep anymore. You are wondering, God, is this how my life is going to go? Is this how things are going to be with me? I just got a breaking news. I got God said to me to tell you, your trouble is going to last to the end of my preaching, because while I am talking, something is happening. There is an anointing. Listen to me. Angels are in that service. The angels that walks with me, they are right there in that church. The Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus himself, who is the owner of life, who is the God of all flesh and the Father of all spirit, the one that is called Almighty El Shaddai, Adonai, El Gibor, that God who is Elohim, El Elyon, Jehovah Mekadesh, the one that my people call Abadaguru, or Biotaguru of Erythia. I'm talking about this God whose ways are past finding. He says to tell you that if you can just stand up and give him a shout, your story is about to turn. Oh, God, I feel like I'm going to start jumping right here. If you can stand up and give God some crazy shout, something will break loose in the spirit and you will be released. Can I get an hallelujah? What a state and what a condition. I'm talking about plugged into overflow. And here you are with your gadget. Here you are with your life. Here you are with all the pains you are going through and all the challenges that is battering you left, right, and center. And you don't know exactly how to go about it. And somehow, the Bible said, in that place we read, in the midst of that famine, it was so bad. If you read the previous chapters, that people began to eat their children. Excuse me. Have you ever been in a situation where things are so bad that you had to compromise a bit? You had to do what you know you ought not to do. I'm sorry, I know your pastor is in church. You wouldn't want to agree to that. But sometimes you are pushed to the wall that you had to bend backward. You want to do some things. The Bible says it was such a bad state that they were eating up their children. Excuse me. Condition changed them to cannibals. Have you ever been pushed to the wall where you are actually, you are going against your tenets? You are going against what you know and what you believe. Have you ever been in a situation like that? And so were these guys. They thought they can never experience some, not to talk about much more. They didn't think they were going to pay their bills, not to talk about owning a building. They didn't think they would be able to come out of debts, not to talk about owning a company. I came to prophesy right to this day, down 13th of July, because heaven marked it before you woke up this morning that he was God himself. He's going to change your story. I come by the word of God. My name is Apostle Dr. Gospel Uju. I stand before the presence of Jehovah to declare to you the counsel of the Lord Jesus. I am standing representing the jury of heaven to read the verdict of Elohim regarding your life. I came to tell you, if you don't know how to dance, go and learn how to dance, because in a short while, oh my God, you are going to dance and people are going to dance with you. That's a good place to give God another shout. Don't miss that, amen. It's a good place to scream the amen at the top of your voice. Hallelujah. Now, in this condition, let's push this to an end. In this condition, the man of God came around and said, on the 13th of July, we are going to have a program, and we're going to be having a man of God come to speak to us via Zoom. And then this man of God is going to come, and the team God gave to me is overflow. Elijah came and said, by this time tomorrow, there's going to be so much abundance. There's going to be surplus. And somebody who came to church that day, who was one of the leaders of the church, one of the respected folks of the church, he looked at the man of God and said, what an exciting title, overflow. He said, well, I know what I'm going through. I know what I've been having. I've been programs for a long time. This is not the first time we are having programs. It's not the first time that we've been having guest speaker talk to us on Zoom. I don't see how this is going to be different. If the Lord is going to make windows in heaven, let's see how this be. Oh God, I feel like crying. Let there be nobody like that in this congregation. Let there be no one who will doubt what God spoke to the bishop. Because when God told him overflow, it was not for his sake. It was for the sake of someone in the church who has been crying. Someone in that church that nobody knows your tears. Everybody respects you because they think you are so high up there, but nobody knows what you're going through. You can't even tell people what you're going through because you don't want them to look down on you. But can I preach it like I feel it? Oh, God is able to make you celebrate. God is able to bring his word to pass so quickly. How do we plug into overflow? Because, child of God, overflow is the will of God. Yes, God wants you to have more than enough. Do you think God is happy when you have to sit down, you are looking for shift? You are looking for somebody to call you for some shift, and you are angry when they don't give you shift because you can't pay your bills? Do you think God is altogether excited that you got one 9-to-5 job that cannot take care of you, or how much more sponsor your children and the things in church? Do you know some of you who are not from Canada originally, who are from other nations? Do you know that there are people in your family back in your native country who thinks you are wicked? There are people who think you are wicked. They say to themselves, I have a brother and a sister in Canada. They don't even send me nothing. They have no idea what you are going through. They have no idea how you had to push things here and there to get things done. They don't know what you're going through. And in fact, they don't care. For them, you are in diaspora. You should pull out dollars like you find it on the street. Can I talk to somebody? It is the will of God for you to have more than enough. Did the Bible not say in John chapter 10, verse 10? I know you know that. Jesus himself said, if you got a Bible, it is written on a red letter to take away the doubt of who is talking. It was not Peter or John or any of these nine apostles. It was coming from the very lips of my Lord and Savior Jesus, the master of the universe, the owner of life. It was coming from his lips when he said unequivocally, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But here was Jesus beating his chest and said, but I have come that they might have life and have it abundance. If you like to the overflow, that suggests to me that if you believe what I am saying to you, by the end of this meeting, you are going to encounter something that will change your circumstance. I feel like jumping. I'm going to clap on myself over that. It's a word from God. If you are going to encounter something or someone that will change your life. So the first key to plug into overflow is a divine word. A word from God. A word from God. Elijah spoke. Until a divine word comes, nothing changes. Listen to me. I'm not talking about eloquent preaching or talent. You see, eloquent preaching can bring clapping. Talent can bring clapping. But anointing brings a change. This is an anointed word. It's an anointed season. So the first key that will bring about a plug that will take your life and plug it into El Shaddai. Remember El Shaddai? He is more than enough. He is the God that is the double-breasted God, the all-sufficient God. And I don't want to go into that. It will take me so much time. But Elisha came and brought a word. That word from Elisha was supposed to plug them. I'm talking about plugged into overflow. There are things your own prayer cannot do. One word from God. Your pastor looks at you and says to you, fast tomorrow. He's not telling you because he wants you to starve. That's a word from God. Every time you joke with the word from your bishop, you are joking with your life. Every time the bishop stands in the altar and said, all the women went behind, all the ladies, all the guys went behind, tomorrow we are doing this. You think it's one of all those things that he said? No word from the man of God is a joke. Even when he's laughing and saying it, destinies are connected to it. If you want to plug to overflow, the first thing you don't want to joke with is the word from the man of God. The word from the man of God. A word from God is your first key to overflow. Write it down. I'm not going to joke with the words of my pastor. If my pastor invites anyone, I'm not going to joke with what they say. I'm not going to allow familiarity to cause me to fail. Sometimes people who are very close to the man of God, they don't get too blessed because they seem to have known him too much. But do you know, familiarity blurs vision. Familiarity destroys value. If you get too familiar, you kill yourself. Are you listening to me? There's key number two. I got to run because of time. Key number one is divine word. Key number two is avoid unbelief. Listen to me, child of God. You need to understand. See, God wants you to prosper. 3 John 2. You remember 3 John 2? He says, beloved, I wish above all things. John was writing to Gaius, but it's also for us. He said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, glory to God, and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. It means the prosperity of your body is connected to the prosperity of your soul. In other words, God needs you born again. Listen, you can come to church, you can know pastor and don't even know Jesus, but God wants you born again. So abundance of the flow of God is for those who know him. The Bible says in Psalm 23 verse 5, it said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of anybody or my enemy. Listen to me, people of God. When God gets ready to bless you, there is no devil anywhere that can do anything about it. He says, God, say, I will prepare the table. Listen, when God prepares your table, no devil can touch it. God prepares the table. On that table are your babies. On that table is your wedding. On that table is your finances, your buildings, your cars. Everything you can ever own is on the table. Then God makes sure it stands by the table to make sure nothing touches it. That's why the Bible said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Can I ask you a question? Are you not tired of preparing a table by yourself? The one you need to lie to get things done, the one you need to go this corner that God didn't want to get things done. Can't you see how difficult life is? But can I tell you the truth? The Bible still states that it is the blessings of the Lord that make it rich and added no sorrow to it. It's a good place to have amen. So key number one, a divine word. Key number two, avoid unbelief. Listen, child of God, please listen to this. Write it down if you like. See, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He didn't say it is difficult. It is not hard. No. It is not hard. Without faith, it is hard. No, the Bible didn't say it is hard to please God. It didn't say it is difficult to please God. It said it's impossible. In other words, in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, when you read the last part, it says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So you can sit back there and say, I didn't commit adultery. You can sit back there and say, I don't commit fornication. I don't do all those kind of things. But if you walk in unbelief, oh God, God looks at you and he frowns because you stop his power. You destroy what he does. Are you listening to me? That's why the man of God looked at this guy and said, your eyes will see it and you will not eat it. Some people think the man of God was wicked. Some people think the man of God was hard. But the man of God wasn't hard. The man of God was following the principles of God. Anytime faith is absent, God is offended. God cannot manage unbelief. He doesn't like it. He says it's impossible to please God. So when the man of God gives an instruction from that altar, and you decide to call your friend and debate that what Bishop talked about, or what mama talked about, what do you think about it? Excuse me, you don't take an instruction from your pastor for debate. You don't ask a second opinion. You don't ask what somebody else think. And you do that at the detriment of your life, and you are trying to block that which is flowing towards your direction. When God's word comes, God expects you to believe it hook, line, and sinker. God wants you to take it completely, totally embrace it, and get stuck, get soaked in the reality of that truth. So for key number one, a divine word. God brings a word, and then you plug into it. Voila, you are entered into overflow. It's not for a man to do. Number two, avoid unbelief. Avoid unbelief. Don't commonize your bishop. Don't commonize. Listen, if I say something now, you will take it. And your bishop says something, you are not taking it. You don't understand life. I will preach and go. That's the man God has given to you. If you joke with the utterances from his mouth or the mouth of the woman of God, you are not doing anybody any harm. Excuse me, if nobody has told you, let me tell you, I won't charge you for that. If you joke with utterances from the mouth of the man of God, you endanger your life. If you want to walk in abundance, you want to clear those bills, you want to come out of that loneliness, you want to marry, you want to be okay, you want your life to matter, you want your political life to rise, you want your career to get up, then you need the word. If your pastor isn't talking to you, go to him and say, please speak a word over my life. Nothing can take the place of an utterance from a father. Glory to God. Number two, I said, avoid unbelief. I said it to you. Listen to this. When God sees faith, he doesn't care what you did. He doesn't care what you have done. Faith cancels sin. Now you say, oh, pastor, what is that? Well, I'm not the one that said it. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. The Bible says, and Abraham believed God. God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. The man had too many flaws, but when God saw his belief, have you not read it through the Bible that every time Jesus sees a faith, he's excited? The Bible says, he said in Mark chapter 2, did you see that man at the open roof? The Bible said the open roof, they brought a man who was sick, carried by four men. The open roof and dropped the man down. The Bible said Jesus, seeing their faith, said, son, your sins are forgiven you. The man didn't ask for forgiveness. The moment God found faith, he said, your sin is canceled. That's why the Bible said it's impossible to please God if you live in unbelief. Number three, I got to run because of time. Number three, be sensitive. I'm going to stop here. Be sensitive to God's choice. Listen to me, child of God. No matter what you're going through, there is always something to do to come out of it. Oh, yes, no matter what you are going through, there is always something to do to come out. The reason why you are not coming out is either you don't know what to do, or you know it, or you cannot do it. There is always, no matter the problem anybody goes through. In fact, what is keeping you where you are is at that level of the information you have and you're willing to work with. The difference between you and the next person progressing is something he knows that you don't know. So there is always something to do. But in the case of these people, the Bible says that when the man of God finished speaking, do you know who God chose to use? God's choice. I said to be sensitive to God's choice. Sometimes you are thinking the person that will change your life is that your brother abroad, is that person by the word that's working the government, is that person that is a billionaire. Sometimes you are thinking that's who God wants to use. Excuse me, God is God. You must allow him to be God. The reason why he is God is because he can choose to use a raven to feed you. He's God. He can choose to make a fish to become an ATM machine for the fish to begin to produce money. God, he is God. The reason why he is God is that he can. You cannot dictate to him who and what he will use. The reason why most of us are still in where we are, when we finish praying to God for something, we think we know who God will use to do it. And then our mind is in that brother that we chatted that he should give us money. Our mind is in that lady. We think we know who God will use, and we get very heartbroken. We get so disappointed because the person we are calling is not responding. The person we are asking is not doing nothing, and God is waiting. God is waiting for you to look at where he's showing you. You are so carried away by what you think that you don't know God's choice. When the man of God finished speaking, there were Bibles that there were four leprous men. Oh God, God has such a sense of humor that he can choose things that are mind-blowing. God chose four leprous men. I want you to understand this thing here. These are men that were not permitted to enter the city. These were men that don't have television to watch. These are men that didn't know what happened in the city. They had been ostracized and thrown away from the city. When God decided that I'm going to pull you into abundance, I'm going to pull you into a mind-blowing miracle, God's choice is something you must be sensitive to. You don't listen to me, church. Don't think you know who God wants to use. You do not know. You have no idea. You must be able to say, Lord, my spirit is willing. Lord, I am open to flow with the water. I'm ready to flow with the fluidity of the Holy Ghost. I'm ready to follow you. Your problem, most of our challenge is that we think we know God's formula. So if God, we do this, God. No. God is bigger than a box. God is bigger than mathematical formulas. He's bigger than scientific arrangements. God is great. He's God. That's who he is. He is the owner of life. He is the maker of the universe. In fact, the universe, the earth you see in its complexities, God made it in the space of 6 days. The words of his mouth, time will fail me to go into that. But number one, a divine word. Number two, avoid unbelief. Believe. Jesus' mother said, whatsoever he asks you to do, do it. Don't question anything. That's where your abundance is. That's where your overflow is. Number three, be sensitive to God's choice. God used four leprous men. If I was God, I wouldn't use them. But you see, I'm not God. He used four leprous men. Can you talk about Naaman? Naaman was such a mighty man, but the Bible said the guy had leprosy. 2 Kings chapter 5. He had leprosy and he was locked away in his room. And right inside Naaman's house was a maid. She was so unimportant that the Bible did not record her name. But you see, she's a slave. She's not a servant. She's a slave. I want you to understand the difference. This girl cannot lift her face to even look at the madam of the house. She must look down and talk. She is a slave. But inside that slave was an information that can heal or God. Can I preach it like I feel it? I came to tell you that God will open your sensitivity, that you will not insult the people that can change your life. You will not insult, you will not walk away from the custodian of your next level. You will not turn back and walk away from people that God have ordained to change your life. They may not look so nice. They will not come in very nice Armani suit or nice suit like this. They may not come wearing some JoJo perfume. They can come like your garage people. They can come around the corner. They may not look so nice, but inside them, they know somebody that knows somebody that knows another person that can change your life. Child of God, your abundance and your overflow is connected to someone. It's connected to a family whom you may not understand or you may not know. As I begin to close, listen to this. God, he will use a pot of oil. He will use a rod. He will use things that are insignificant. But when you follow him, he will plug you to the supernatural that will bring you overflow. Don't forget a divine word. You may just be hearing a word from my mouth now. As I'm speaking, things are changing. You are going to be surprised in a few days. In fact, from this evening, your testimony begins. It's going to roll in from every corner. God spoke to me, and I believe it. And I know God spoke to Bishop. That's why the theme of this program is overflow. You're plugging in by divine word. Avoid unbelief. Don't let the word of your pastor drop. When he speaks, run after it. It is for your good. It's not, it won't do him any good. It's for you. Number three, be sensitive to God's choice. Child of God, I want to pray with you. Can you stand up on your feet where you are? And I'm going to pray with you. If you're in church this hour, you've not given your life to Jesus, I don't know what you're waiting for. Jesus is the only way. It's not one of the ways. He is the only way. A life without Christ is finished. It doesn't even matter what you have. Without Jesus, you have no life. So if you've not given your life to Jesus, it's the best day to do it. All you need to do is to tell him, Lord Jesus, I have wronged you. I've sinned against God. I believe that it's only you that can save me. Tell him to come into your life and become your Lord and Savior. He will do it. But let me pray for anyone going through any challenge at this moment. You want to put your right hand on your chest with your feet carrying you, you're standing up. I want to pray. Bagoshka Indres Kaparuza Dade. Grinda Kurabada Kridadosko Pradada Shin Brada Dosia. In the name that is above every other name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I speak right now into the entirety of this church building and those connected online. I speak life into your system. I challenge the forces of darkness who for these years are fighting this ministry. I speak to the force that is against this ministry first. By the anointing invested on me as God's servant, as an apostle, I speak to the force that is fighting this ministry. Yes, Lord. I hear there were people that were in this church before that have left. As they left, they began to say things about the church, to attack the church. I decree that their words will become the words of Ahithophel. Their words lose value, and shame and death is their portion. In the name of Jesus, and I speak to everyone under the sound of my voice, I release healing to your body from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. I kill that disease. I command it to die from your system in the name of Jesus. Whether people know you have that sickness or people don't know, I curse it to die from the roof in the name of Jesus. I speak to you that need to get married. I release you for marriage. You that needs a baby, I release you for children. In the name of Jesus, you that got bills to pay, I command sources to open up from different avenues to grant you supply that will make you dance. In the name of Jesus, and from today, I command and I decree that that person, that individual, that we enter into Gap Church and the church will change practically. I call them to come into that church. I speak to every individual listening to me. That person that will come into your life, that man, that one that will enter your life and change it positively. I release them to come in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your time. Thank you so much. God bless you. God raise you up His word with you. Bishop, thank you again for this opportunity to be a blessing to God's people. God bless you.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. That is just amazing. Where did he go? Apostle.
I am here.
Did he cut off?
I am very much here.
Oh, I didn't see you. That was so powerful. We truly have been graciously blessed by the words that you brought to us today. We'll receive it. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Can you get rid of the echo, please? Wow, that's just been an incredible word. But I sense in my spirit there is more that needs to be done.
Yes.
And I release you to do that.
As
I was sitting down there, the Lord was speaking to me. There's more that He needs
to do. Yes, indeed. Thank you. You know, man of God, as I was preaching, as I was speaking God's word, I heard in my spirit that there are people that are in church this morning that God is about to move them to another level. God is about to move you. I mean, you, that person has been crying to God, God, I'm tired from where I am. I need you to move me. You have been asking God, I need you to move me. Now, God is saying to tell you that today is your day of shift. God is about to shift you. God is about to move you and make you the envy of other people.
Amen.
Now, there's another question. God said, I should ask you, are you ready? Do you have capacity to withstand gossip? Because what I want to do in your life, people will gossip you. God said, what I want to do, I will so lift you up that you are going to become suspected. People will suspect whether are they sure you are clean, because God said it will be a sudden rise. God will give you a sudden push. Look at the scripture we read. He said, by this time tomorrow, God is in a hurry to change somebody's life. Now, I'm going to call some people. You are listening to me right now. You are in church. You want to plug. Man of God, I'm going to ask you to do something. I beg of you. I beg of you, servant of God. Please forgive me, but I'm a man of the spirit. I'm a man of the spirit. I want to beg you. I know you wear very nice shoes, but if you can take it off, I want your maybe your barefoot on your altar. God says He wants His people to come and sow, and you will stand on it. You will stand on it, whether they are sowing online, whether they are sowing through giving. You will stand on it, and then their sweat, God will give them sweatless favor. Amen. As I'm sweating right now as I'm preaching, but as we stand on this spiritually, they will enter into sweatless favor. I am speaking by the word of God. Remember, whatsoever God says to do, just do it. God says He needs you to come and sow. If you are there this morning, I don't want to tell you what to sow. I don't know what your capacity is, but you know your capacity. You know what you want. If you are trusting God for a change, leave your seat now. There are some times I don't come twice. Some opportunities don't come twice. When God sent a man, you know, when God sends a man your way, you grab opportunity of this grace that is here. This is an anointing that you can't let pass. So leave your seat, whether it's just one of you, two of you, but you are trusting God for a change. Say, I want to sow. I just want to sow. I'm not going to tell you what to sow. $1,500, $110, $10, $20, I don't know. But leave your seat. Your faith in leaving your seat to the front is what produces that breakthrough. It's what creates that thing you need. Or you want, if you are doing it online, when you finish doing it online, still go outside. Because the man of God will stand and sweatless favor, sweatless miracle is coming. I see somebody coming. I can't see everybody very well. But I see somebody coming out. I see somebody coming. I see somebody else coming out. It is not for everyone. It's for someone. You feel that something has been delayed in your life. You have been delayed in marriage. You have been delayed in finances. Some of you, they are supposed to call you for certain appointment. You do work. Nobody appreciates it. God is changing your level right now, right here. So I need you to step out. I'm still waiting for one more person. One more person. One more person. One more person. come. Come, you are watching online. Do that online quickly. Do it online quickly. Do it online quickly. Man of God is standing upon it. He's standing upon it. Now listen, one more thing God says to tell everyone in church. Listen to me, please, I beg you. I beg you. One of the greatest things that can happen to you is for your father, for you to please the soul of your father. The Bible says that Isaac said to Esau, bring me food that my soul will bless you. There is a blessing from the mouth, and there is a blessing from the soul. Now, God says to tell somebody there, as a matter of you on your own, tell yourself what you are going to do for your father. This is not to the church. If you want to buy him an handkerchief, you want to buy him a tie, you want to buy mama something, God says, let something leave you to your spiritual parents. It's not because they need it. They are not even needing it. They don't even want it. But it's not about them. It's you. This is connected to your next level. God says to tell it between now and tomorrow evening, make sure you do it. And they say, what is this? Tell them, I'm obeying what Apostle God's power said. I want the grace upon you as my spiritual parents to walk upon my life. Thank you, God. God bless you, man of God. As you stand on those things spiritually, your people receive sweatless favor. The people who have obeyed, yes, those of you that are coming and going, your sweat, that your laboring is taken away. Favor is given to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, man of God. I'm excited. Amen. I'm blessed. I'm glad.
Praise Thank the you, Lord. Sir. Praise the Lord. Thank you for listening to the heart of the Father and speaking to us so powerfully. This that you've asked us to do, I saw in the realm of the spirit that we're supposed to do it, so I am in alignment with you. Actually, I had mine ready. I had mine ready, so as soon as you said it, I grabbed it and brought it. And I thank God for everyone that obeyed the instruction of the Lord this morning. The overflow has already begun.
Yes, indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, this particular passage of scripture in Joshua 3 and verse 15 can be understood in a particular way, but yes, there's a way
Jordan,
that the Lord
Jordan
wants.
Jordan overflew in our back. Yes, indeed.
Exactly.
Yes, indeed.
Jordan overflew its bank at the time of harvest.
Yes, indeed.
At the time of harvest. You know, he asked me, what is the theme of this conference, this gathering? I said, you know what? This month we're talking about favor. I said, but I think it is something different. So I let it at that way. And I was calling our graphic designer. And I said to him, the theme is overflow. It just came out. I said, wow, God has something on his mind. God has something on his mind. And that which is in the heart of God flows to you now.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. I said, that which is in the heart of God flows to you now in the
Amen.
Mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said
Amen.
The third time, that which is in the heart of God flows to you now
Amen.
In
Amen.
Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Malushka
Pradidi.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
We give you praise.
God. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Lindsay.
Thank you, man of God.
Would you go on the keyboard and just play anything? I'm going to ask this dear daughter to play something because there is still one more thing that needs to be done. You have prayed, you have prophesied. But I sense there is more in there that needs to flow out. So as she plays, I speak the release into your spirit deep within you, that the heartbeat of God
long-awaited miracles are arriving before this month. Even this month comes to an end. Long-awaited is arriving. Your miracle is not on the way. It has come. It has now put itself in this mind. The Sukabadayata. Tengabashata. Likataya.
So it is.
Look at great favor entered into Gap Church. Man of God, God is taking you. You think you have traveled. You think you have gone places. God is raising someone who will be sponsoring your outreach. Ligaba, a family. Madu Kasete. Look at Almighty God causing strange doors to Asia, strange doors. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you. If you are sick in your body in that church, begin to just check your body because that disease is gone. Somebody's there, you are listening to me in church. Somebody is sick in your heart, you left somebody sick at home. God is already healing that person. God Almighty, if you get to man, the person is sick, tell them to stand up because they're already well. God has done the healing. God has perfected that healing. Glory to God. Yes, I hear God say, don't bother about that debt you have to pay. Those bills that are there, that are spelling embarrassment, that are spelling humiliation, that you don't know what to do. There's a deadline there. I hear God say to me to tell you, dance, just dance for me. If you can dance for me wholeheartedly, I will cause it to be stricken off. I will pay it in an amazing way. Yes, indeed. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless me, God.
Glory Hallelujah.
To Jesus.
Glory to
Jesus.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give a good clap offering unto the Lord.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you, Apostle Godspar Ujo.
Thank you, sir.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
We're truly blessed of the Lord. And I'll be in touch with you.
Yes, and, sir. Greetings to you. Greetings for my family, my wife and kids here. We greet you. And I'll hear from you again. God bless you. Enjoy
Amen.
The rest
bless
of the
you.
Service.
God bless
Amen.
You. I'll talk
Amen.
To you. I most likely will see you in a few days. God
oh,
bless
that
you.
Will be very good. All
Amen.
Right. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Love you, my brother. Amen.
You,
Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? You know, the gifts of God that God has made available to us, His people. Stay plugged in. Enjoy the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. And as we honor God with our giving, we get ourselves ready to share in communion together. Be reminded that tonight we're going to have another apostle, a young man, anointed by God to be a prophet when he was 7 years old. Became ordained as a minister when he was 9. And he's moving with great power and great unction, touching lives. Mighty man of God. You know, I've preached in his church maybe 2 or 3 times now in Abuja. calls me his spiritual father. You know, I'm amazed, really, when you give in your regular offering, put it in the containers over there, at how many sons and daughters that God has given to Mama and I that are nation-shaking people. They just, but God told me that you're my father. I said, me. I'm supposed to be your father. You are shaking everything. I'm supposed to be your father. What is this? Some of them are so sharp that when I need to hear something, I'm not getting through yet, or I've heard something and I need somebody to go talk to God and hear God and come talk to me, I'll call them. Because they are specialists. You know, they are special. In the things of the kingdom, they are specialists. If you're arrogant and you act like you are Mr. Know-it-all, your goose is cooked. No, I don't do that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we are a team together. And tonight, I want you to drag yourself in here at 6:30. Be ready. Don't let a man of God come and you are not ready. Be ready to receive from the heart of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, let us share in communion together. If you don't have your communion element, please raise your hand. The ushers will get to you and make sure that you're served. Has everyone been served? If you're not served yet, wave. Okay. Hallelujah. Father, we are thankful for this now, this moment. And we thank you, Lord, oh God, at the things that you have done, things that you have accomplished in us and through us, are reaching out and bringing about transformation in lives. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for this communion. As we take it, we receive healing, we receive deliverance, we receive the workings of redemption. We receive, O God, renewed strength. For your word says, O God, that the people of Israel left Egypt and there was not one weak nor feeble in their midst. They left with great wealth. Lord, O God, as we take of this communion, let the full impact and the benefits that you've ordained even before the foundations of the earth be manifested in each life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Take of the body and eat. Do it in remembrance of the Lord. This is the blood shed for the remission of sins. Remember, your sins are forgiven. God has given to you the gift of righteousness. And he says, come boldly into my presence. The one thing that we must always remember is that God has given to us access. You can talk to your Father. You can talk to him. He's interested in every single detail. Sometimes I am amazed at what God is interested in and what he talks about. He talks about everything. And you need to have that relationship with him. You know, this morning, you're still going to take this cup, but I'm saying something. See, it's communion, coming into union. This morning, I left here maybe about 8:40, almost 9 o'clock to get back home. I was here very early in the morning. I got home, didn't know what I was going to wear. And the Lord says, go upstairs. Go through this pile of clothes that you have there. And I went through. He says, take that one. That was this. I wasn't planning on wearing this. He says, take this. I said, why are you interested in me wearing this? He says, because my son is going to be wearing the same thing. I want you guys to be matched up. So I got dressed quickly and came to church. God, you're interested in what I'm going to wear? Absolutely. If he's interested in that, he's interested in the most important things in your life. So take up this cup and drink, recognizing that God is for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I look forward to seeing you tonight for another powerful experience in the Lord. I don't know what God is going to do in and through his son tonight, but it's going to be a mighty work of grace. Amen. Let me cut off from those on Facebook and YouTube and say hello to those that are on Zoom.